interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, August 28 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in to Twin Peaks on Johnston. Glad to have you with us today on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here. From the home of the eats, the drinks, and the scenic views, the famous Clint D. Per the usual, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Huge fantasy draft coming up at 6:45. It's our third of four at Acadiana Sports Station. We'll talk some fantasy sports today. We'll get Cousin Dino's picks to click, which means you should steer away from them. Spreadheads, we'll talk with an Acadiana area legend. But before any of that, we got to open up with maybe some of the most interesting sound in the LSU sports universe of all time. This is the kind of thing that if you're not careful, you might mess around and not get a triple-double, but your mind might blow. That could actually happen. So let me give the credit, and then I want to roll this out. Trust me, I had a completely different vision of how I wanted to sound today, what I wanted to discuss to kick off the program. LSU, UL, nearing game day. And then Tigers Athletic Director Scott Woodward said the following. The credit goes to Kelly Ann Beal, WVLA-TV in Baton Rouge. This is Woodward at a Rotary Club meeting in Baton Rouge.
Probably in this half a century, there have been three giants in the three major sports in the NCAA. Baseball, football, and basketball, men's basketball. Skip Berkman, Nick Saban, and Mike Krzyzewski. And two of them were on our campuses in the early 2000s. You forget that. Giants. But that's because of LSU. And that's what attracts them here. And I know there's a guy in Alabama who has regrets that he's not here today. And shame on him. But we have one with a higher IQ that's here today. So thank you.
And that's the sound of minds just blowing and splattering. Brain particles up against dashboards throughout Acadiana. That was incredible. And I get completely why Scott Woodward would go there, right? He's speaking to the brand. In Lafayette, you continue to hear about the culture, right? With that capital U, capital L, that Billy Napier's bringing. That the new athletics director on this side of the basin, Dr. Brian Maggard, Nico Yanko, Patrick Crawford, all those cats that we have on the show all the time. They're bringing the cure to Lafayette. Well, I think right there, Scott Woodward is reminding about, well, the brand. You know, the whatever the hell it is, the love purple, live gold thing, right? The fears for the future thing, whatever the hell it is today. It's long been a brand. But the direction that he started to go toward the end there, to me, intriguing. I'll give some of my thoughts, but I wanted to lead off with that. Some of the most interesting sound in a long time. You want to weigh in? Got some time for you. 706-0111. Because the first half of the clip, Clint, the part that alludes to the brand, how strong it's been, how it's attracted Berkman and Saban and Dr. Mark Emmert, who is Woodward's mentor. I get that part. But trust me when I tell you, the national media is not about to trot that out of the barn. What they're going to play, and what I'll focus on for the duration of this segment, there's a guy in Tuscaloosa who has regret. I actually 100% believe that. You listen to the show long enough, you know I'm not a guy who believes in, you know, 12 out of 10 or 130%. I don't play those games. Math is too important to me. But if I did, I'd go above 100%. I completely buy into the fact that Saban wishes he had never gone to scratch that NFL itch in Miami. And that he's right here. In fact, right here in Lafayette, as Ruffin Roderick tells you all the time, the guy's got absolutely some of his dearest friends right here in the Hub City. And so I absolutely buy into the fact that he wishes he was able to serve out and finish what he started here. But, man, it's interesting to talk about a guy who has stacked up a handful of national championships in one location in Tuscaloosa and say he wishes he were here. Again, I buy into that, but it's a bold statement. And then he goes down the line, and I think he throws a little bit of Woodward pre-shade there, and I appreciate it. We got a guy here now who's smarter. Okay, I'm not going to completely buy into that part. And I'm not going to completely go any further there because I'm not looking to denigrate Ed Orgeron. What he is doing, whether it's all his idea, whether it's the Derek Panamsky guide to building a successful program binder that was given to Joe Oliva back in the gap, I don't give a damn what it was. But right now, Orgeron's looking pretty intelligent, isn't he? I think he's looking like a guy who has changed his stripes from the one that was a losing coach, head coach with the Ole Miss Rebels. So he's looking like a guy that's figured out how to make LSU a brand that recruits nationally, how to go out and find quarterbacks that right away can help you win more games than the guys that, you know, were being recruited to Baton Rouge. So for my two cents, look, am I going to tell you that Orgeron is smarter than Saban? No, I'm not, because here's the thing. The other thing Ruffin Rodriguez says all the time, I've had discussions with other members of the media, discussions with other coaches around the country in my days in this business as a broadcaster and a journalist, and they all say the same thing. Nick Saban would be successful at anything that he wanted to do. Fortune 500 business, I mean, anything. Maybe if he were in Lafayette, you know, the oil industry wouldn't have taken the downturn. Okay. The guy could basically be Superman in any industry he wanted. It's because of the work ethic, the focus, and the unrelenting ability to be an ass to get it done. Doesn't care what you think about it. And so here we are. Wednesday, August the 28th. In a couple of days, LSU will kick off its regular season at home against Georgia Southern. Nick Saban will be over in the ATL taking on a Duke team, and they're 4 touchdown favorites plus. And this is what we're talking about because I think it's just incredibly compelling. CD, before I introduce our guest list today, before I go into our first break, I'll get your reaction to that because, again, I had a very different vibe of how I wanted to start the show today. I just think that's remarkable sound from Scott Woodward.
Oh, it's absolutely outstanding. That was actually the first time I had heard it. I kept seeing the video pop up here and there, just hadn't got around to watching it. And then when you mentioned to me at the beginning of the show, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing just to play this right out of the gate. Because Scott Woodward, it was definitely well done and tactfully done as well. It wasn't like, oh, hey, he was throwing the barbs purposefully at the Nictator. He was definitely doing it in a succinct way. It was definitely well, very, very well done for the new AD.
You're telling me that I found something on the interwebs before you did. That might be a first ever.
Probably.
And I'll tell you what else it speaks to. The confidence that Scott Woodward has brought back to Baton Rouge. And I am a believer in the fact that confidence backed up with some know-how very quickly breeds competence. And I don't think I'm going over the line. I don't think I'm throwing barbs just to throw them to say that they're were confidence issues abounding about the competency of Joe Oliva, Woodward's predecessor. So here's a guy who, hey, he believes it. He talks it. And trust me, I think that guy's going to continue to walk it as well. So there you have it. Unbelievable sound from Scott Woodward. Some talk about LSU Bama, and we are only just starting today on a hump day. All right, I mentioned we'll have our debut edition this football season of Spreadheads with Cousin Dino. That's coming your way in exactly 20 minutes. You don't want to miss it. We'll pick 5 games from the college side and an early lean, one from me, one from Dino and his infinite wisdom on LSU Texas next week. We'll give you the early line there and then tell you our early leans. Dino will be our only guest at the 4 o'clock hour, and then Acadiana area legend Jake DeLome at 5:05. He's now officially a member of the Carolina Panthers radio network. So, yeah, he does this for a living like me these days. Okay, he does a lot of other things as well. But Jake DeLome, he's going to take time out to discuss the NFL and Cajuns football with us today at 5:05. 2 hours of the good stuff, so stay right where you are. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out to Twin Peaks on Johnston on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, this show, it may not do all of those things, but it will make some incredibly bold predictions and some that maybe are a little less bold in nature. In case you missed yesterday's program, Clint compiled a dynamite recap of everything that was in my bucket predictions, college and the pros, as well as LSU, UL, and Saints regular season predictions. Clint, to say that people disagree with this on social media and online, that might be just a bit of an understatement. Would you agree?
I would agree with you, but at the same time, I think that we just need to take Ed Ogeron's advice when it comes to the social media trolls of the world and blowing out the noise.
Or the Aaron Rodgers advice, and just throw a little bit of relax in there, but make sure you spell it out. In case you missed it, you can go to our website, 1037thegame.com, check out my predictions, and you can take your turn today telling me why I'm either a moron or a golden god of prognostication. And thank you for all of your great feedback. All right, CD, every day around this time, we dole out a sink or swim question of the day. As I've got a live fantasy draft coming up in about 2.5 hours, I want to dip into those waters. Exciting and new. Your sink or swim question of the day: has fantasy football at all lost its luster to you over the years? I think this becomes a more interesting conversation in 2019 due to some of the legislation regarding sports gambling. But call us up, let us know. We'll put you front and center on the program, and we'll take your responses as well on Facebook and Twitter at 1037 The Game. But Clint, you're up first. And for you, it's interesting, too, because you're only 3 or 4 years into the game here, brother. Has it lost its luster for you?
It really hasn't, because it's one of those things where you just never know who's going to wind up kind of popping off in a big way. It's always great to kind of just see somebody's whole career trajectory kind of go, especially when you just are in the middle of the draft and you're wondering, should I draft this rookie? Should I draft that rookie instead? It's always fun to have those kind of debates within yourself as you're kind of drafting. It's fun to have to pick this guy as being your star player for your fantasy league, because if he doesn't do well, then he's kind of just going to go on the waiver wire, and you got to determine it. So it feels like it just hasn't lost all its luster for me. Mind you, I feel like for people who are into the whole daily fantasy league, it's on another level where it'll never really lose its luster in that sense.
You know, you make a great point about the daily fantasy, but again, sports, gambling, gaming, whatever the heck you want to call it, to me, that's a game changer as well, because for so long, people that didn't have their local bookie, people that weren't ever able to go on to what have you, the Bovada.LVs, not that that's something I know about, right? I'm just told that there are sites like that. Basically, if you weren't gambling online with sports or with your local Jimmy the Greek type, this was a perfect surrogate for you. It also served as a way not only to get some skin in a game, but your skin in every game, right? Because you can pick and choose guys and, I mean, total defenses from all over the league. And so suddenly you've got a vested interest in every single game. It also gave a pretty darn good outlet, in my opinion. And this might be the best utility of all fantasy sports for my money. It gives a perfect vehicle to make fun of your friends and to crush your friend's face and to crush your family's face. The most satisfying league I'm in, and I've told this story before in the program, is a shaming league. Not a dollar exchanges hands from winners to losers, from losers to winners. But you better not finish last in a given week or for the season. God help you, if you finish last for the entire season, you're just not going to enjoy yourself. And so for me, I'm going to sink. It hasn't lost its luster, but I can see a day where it's more than just kind of jump the shark a little bit. I can see with some of the daily fantasy, and now especially the influx of sports gambling slash gaming, I could see a day in the next 15 to 20 years where we don't feel about fantasy then like we do now. I just don't think we're there yet. All right, let's take a trip out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Chad, that's what I think. How about you?
I'm doing well. Ben, I kind of want to go off subject real fast, man. Ben, with this news of Dylan Moses being out all season, what does this do to Bama's psyche, man? It ain't just a – to me, it's just not a plug-and-play. They got five stars on the – I mean, this is a major, major injury to three guys on their team. And just the mindset. And then they also suspended four players for the first game. I know they're playing Duke. But is there something going on there, man, and this, just the psyche of that team? I know you're not there to know, but what does this do to their defense and their team, man? I'll hang up. I'll listen to your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's not something I wanted to lead the program off with necessarily, but it is certainly the biggest news story of the day in college football. Baton Rouge product, a guy that was on the cover of, I believe, ESPN the magazine when he was in eighth grade, Dylan Moses, going to be out potentially for the season with an injury. And he follows in the footsteps of one of the nation's top running backs that made his way to Alabama. Is any of this going to dent the mystique of Alabama nationwide and inside the conference? I think the answer, big picture, Chad, is no, right? But is it as easy as plug and play? Don't know about that. And I don't know if you call it irony or what word you would use to describe it, but yesterday on the mothership, Kirk Herbstreit listed Dylan Moses as his basically breakout player of the year in college football and maybe his most valuable defensive player in the country. And so if you get mentioned in the same breath with Grant Delpit for anything, I mean, you're somebody and a force to be reckoned with. So, no, I don't think it's as simple necessarily as plug and play here. But does this change the outlook of an LSU-Alabama football game in Tuscaloosa that's going to be played 9 weeks from now? No, it's too early to make that type of judgment call. Does it affect the way that Alabama will perform against Duke? Probably not there either. But it's going to have some effect, to be certain. I mean, that would be equivalent to saying that Michael Divinity's out for the season, except this guy's even to a further level with his ceiling and how good that he can be. But in terms of what he means to his defense, you could say maybe it's equivalent to losing a Michael Divinity type, right? A linebacker with experience that's been in the program, has gone through some of the battles, and is ready to take over as one of the defensive commanders now that it's his whole war, not just a battle. So it's a tough blow for Alabama, there's no doubt. And, you know, it's funny that Chad brought up Dylan Moses, because these are things that you don't ever really talk about when you're in the middle of them. But with some distance removed, hey, I don't see any harm of it. I vividly remember... I was having a house built for me in Baton Rouge. I had moved in with my dad during the final month of the construction project. Yes, this is going somewhere in a sports direction soon. I'll land my plane. And I heard news and rumblings, right? I got a text from somebody in the high school sports community that LSU just offered Dylan Moses. I said, there's no way. He's not even a freshman in college yet. And so I vividly remember checking in. And at that point, yeah, my contact was Frank Wilson. Where would you go if you had an opportunity to talk to anybody about whether or not an offer was legit during that period of LSU football? And Frank said, absolutely. And so there are times, and I'll just tell you from experience, that not just LSU, anybody. I mean, they're conduits in the media that release recruiting information. They can't come out and say these things. They can do the, you know, hold that tiger type of tweet when a kid, you know, commits, but when they offer somebody, no, they don't do anything on social media. The kids sometimes will, right? You'll see their graphics. But it's interesting because sometimes these programs, they won't necessarily want this information out there. I vividly remember, and I won't give the exact response, but basically Frank Wilson, yeah, we want that out there like right now. Please do. Anything else you need, right? And so it's just surreal to me. That would have been, I'm trying to think at this point, that would have been, I believe, 2013. Probably would have been the late summer of 2013. So about 6 years ago. And now here's the kid, unfortunately, likely to be injured, miss the entirety of what was going to be a huge season. So it's a good call from Chad. Yeah, it took us off topic a little, but we'll have time to get back into the fantasy discussion. But Alabama certainly loses a big gun, we learned today. and that's not quite as big as them losing Jerry Jeudy. It's not as big as them losing Tua Tagovailoa. But you won't get too many more names further. You won't get too many rungs on the ladder lower before you'd arrive at Dillon Moses as one of Bama's most important guys. It's tough, I'm telling you. This time of year, doesn't matter the level of football. High school through the pros, job number one is to keep your guys healthy. And so Bama today taking a big dent with the injury to Dillon Moses. Hey, I mentioned football at every level. Don't forget, high school football fans, and I know that means basically everybody within earshot of me, will have a live broadcast tomorrow evening. Karen Crow versus Bro Bridge. It'll be right here on Acadiana Sports Station. Pre-game show will start at 6:45, no matter what, from Cajun Field. What time the game starts, that could vary a little bit. It's the second of three games in the Kiwanis Jamboree for a Thursday night, so kickoff could be anywhere between 7 and 7:15. And now that I've jinxed it out loud, it'll probably be at like 7:45. But myself and Blaine Viator will be all over it. So fans of Karen Crow, Pot Bro, and everybody in between, make sure you listen in tomorrow. We'll be live from Cajun Field broadcasting the Bears versus the Tigers. And speaking of excitement, when we return, the debut edition for 2019 Spreadheads with Cousin Dino. Stay right where you're at. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming right back to Twin Peaks on Johnston on 103.7 The Game.
What in the hell is Spreadheads? Oh, a segment for degenerate gamblers. All right, well, then it is time for Spreadheads with Cousin Dino.
Thought it would never get here. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to Twin Peaks on Johnston on 103.7 The Game. Mark it down. A day that will live in infamy, or I don't know, might even be famous as well. It's the 28th day of August 2019, and it's time to get our Spreadheads on. Cousin Dino, welcome back in. It feels like it's been months since I've heard your voice.
Yeah, it's been way too long. I'm like a little kid on Christmas Eve. Football season around the corner, and as Les Miles famously said, time to let her rip.
And we'll do exactly that. Dino, let's go five deep on the college football side, and then we've got an early lean to end the segment, LSU-Texas week two. But we'll start this week, a battle of the Cackalackas. It'll be South Carolina versus North Carolina. They're going to play it in Charlotte. It's a 2:30 kickoff. Dino, I'm a gentleman. That means I'll defer to you. Who you got here? It's by the way, it's a minus 10.5 spread for the Gamecocks.
Yeah, this is a little bit of an underrated matchup here from a national perspective. Cousin Dino spent some time in the state of South Carolina, and these two schools do not like each other. Interesting fact here, the South Carolina Gamecocks have not lost to a school from North Carolina since 1999. 20 years in football, they have not lost to a school from North Carolina. That's not changing. South Carolina is going to win this game. They're going to win it. They're going to cover. I know there's a lot of hype around the new Mac Brown era, this freshman quarterback Sam Howell for the Heels. But they're going against QB Jake Bentley. He's a senior. He's talented. He's got the former five-star transfer running back Tavian Feaster from Clemson. I love their wideouts and Brian Evans, Shai Smith, or Trey Smith. I mean, they're loaded at the skill position. They also have a solid defense with T.J. Brunson at linebacker, Javon Kinlaw. Both those guys will probably be playing in the NFL. South Carolina has to win this game. The Heels want to win this game, so give me the Cox to cover here, something like 35-21.
Yeah, we agree early here, Dino. I am not saying that South Carolina will be a contender in the SEC East. I don't believe that'll be the case. What I am saying is I don't believe in the Mac Brown era. That's about to kick off, right, in North Carolina. I do think that Jake Bentley returning as a senior is big, right? Almost 3,200 yards through the air last year, 27 touchdowns. Passing it, he does it with his legs as well. Coach Boom is proving to be a pretty good fit in Columbia. Surely wasn't in Gainesville. So I like South Carolina as the better team, and I'm with you. I'm going to take them to cover as well. It's a 2:30 kickoff in Charlotte. Dino and I both on the Gamecocks. Let's move it a little bit south, Dino, to Jacksonville. Boise, +4.5. They're taking on Florida State. I'll lead off, and I'm going to take Boise State. I know there's no more Chris Peterson. I understand they can't keep running the Statue of Liberty play to win the Fiesta Bowl. All those things that kind of we think of when we conjure up memories of Boise State football, they've changed. But one thing hasn't. They're one of the absolute best teams, along with UCF and A couple of others, Houston, you could say, in Group of Five football. I'm not believing in Florida State having that drastic of a turnaround from last year. Give me Boise State to cover the 4.5. And, Dino, if I like them there, I might as well take them straight up. One other thing I'll say, if this were a regular season game, right, and Boise caught Florida State in week 3, week 4, in the middle of a bunch of different battles, I might not feel the same. But given a couple of months to prepare for this one, I'm going to take the Broncos.
Yeah, well, I agree with a lot of what you said there. I think this is a really tough start for Willie Taggart and the Noles. I mean, they're coming off a 5-7 season, and they're going to take on a team who is not afraid to play the big boys. I mean, we've seen Boise State take out Oklahoma, beat Georgia, and they're playing kind of a wounded Florida State team. Florida State decided on their quarterback, James Blackman, but I'm not sold on James Blackman. And a little side note here, the weather, there's some nasty weather heading up that way towards Jacksonville. And I think if it gets into a sloppy game and slows down those Florida State athletes, I just think that plays into Boise State's favor. So I agree with you. I like Boise State to hang around, and I think they'll definitely cover, and I think they could pull out the outright upset as well.
Let's go to a game featuring another SEC team. We both like South Carolina. Let's see if we like number 16, Auburn. The War Eagles, Plainsmen, Tigers are taking on number 11, Oregon. That ball game, Dino, is in Arlington. Quack, quack. The Ducks are 3.5-point dogs. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I don't like this team. I don't want to go with them. I'm going to go with Auburn. I think Auburn's going to win. I think they're going to cover. I think we've seen this song and dance before. Last year, it was, hey, Washington is the cream of the crop in the Pac-12. You know what? They went and they got beat by Auburn. This year, it's Oregon's kind of the flavor of the month. They're supposed to be one of the top teams. They've got the future NFL QB and Justin Herbert. I just don't know if that style works. The thing that I really like about Auburn in this game is their defensive line. They've got, it's kind of like Clemson's. Maybe not quite as good as Clemson's last year, but Derrick Brown, he could have been a first-round pick in the NFL if he came back. They've got Marlon Davidson. They've got Nick Coe. They've got Big Cat Bryant coming off the edge. These are all guys that are going to be in the NFL. I think Gus is going to have to kind of coach for his job here, and I just think the SEC is kind of proven that they can take care of the Pac-12. So give me Auburn to cover the 3.5.
It feels so good to disagree with you. Now it's football season. I'm going to take Oregon here. And like Boise, Dino, if I like them in that close of a margin, I'm going to take them straight up. So give me Oregon in this ball game. And by the way, if you do a little Oregon-Boise parlay, both of them straight up, you might just make some money. I'll tell you what I like. It's not just Justin Herbert. I'm not just going with the better quarterback. I'm going with the head coach. It's the opposite of what you and I kind of agree on with Willie Taggart in Seminole Country. I love Mario Cristobal. All right, the pedigree as a player for those nasty Canes teams in the late 80s, coached on the Saban tree at Alabama. I think he's going to build something in Oregon. I mean, are they going to be a national contender? Maybe not. I think they could be maybe the cream of the Pac-12 crop this year, and I think they make a bit of a statement. So I like Oregon straight up in that ball game. All right, we'll move quickly, Dino. Two more later in the weekend. Houston is at number 4, Oklahoma, on Sunday. Houston's a 23.5-point underdog, and I'm going to say that's a lot of points. I understand Oklahoma's at home. They've got the best thing since sliced bread on the sideline, coaching them in Lincoln Riley. They've had two straight Heisman Trophy winners, but I'm not yet willing to go Denny Green style and crown their ass when it comes to Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. I think they could be a great team by the end of the year. I'm going to say maybe it takes a little while to ramp up. So I think Dana Holgorsen and company can keep it within basically, what, almost 3.25 touchdowns? Give me Houston to cover the spread, even though they lose.
Yeah, I agree with you all around there. I mean, the last two times these teams met, I mean, Tom Herman and the Houston Cougars really took it to Baker Mayfield of the Sooners. So the thing I really like here about Houston pick is Dana Holgorsen is the new head coach over there at Houston, and he came from West Virginia where they've already faced the Sooners offense. He knows what to expect. They play a similar style. Houston's quarterback, Derek King, is one of the most electric quarterbacks. He actually has some playmakers, especially on the wideout. And Oklahoma's defense stinks. They were dead last in the passing defense last year. So 23.5 is way too much. So give me the Cougs as well to lose, but to cover that large number.
Dino, round out our five games on Monday night, Labor Day. It'll be Notre Dame at Louisville. Number 9 Notre Dame, a 20-point favorite going to Papa John's Stadium. Who you like?
Yeah, I kind of feel similar to the last game we discussed. I like Louisville to cover. Not the win, but the cover. They're going with the all-black unis. They're starting out the new coach, Scott Satterfield's era. You got one of the biggest, most historic teams in Notre Dame coming to town. I think the Bobby Petrino era kind of took the – towards the end there, just kind of – it just took everything out of the program. I think they'll be back. I think they're a lot better than they showed last year. They've got 9 guys coming back on defense. And I'm not 100% sold on Notre Dame. I think they kind of got exposed in the playoffs last year when they got pants by Clemson and were lucky not to get shut out. So give me Louisville to cover the 20 – lose, but to cover the 20 at home.
Yeah, we disagree here. And I try not to get wrapped up in what I want to happen. I try to focus on what I believe is going to happen. No, I don't like Notre Dame football. But Clemson's not walking through that door, and neither is 2012 Alabama. Those are the teams that we're thinking about when we imagine Notre Dame getting to a playoff or a BCS title game, and they get crushed by the big boys. Louisville is mediocre at best. I like Notre Dame. I like the pedigree there. I think the Golden Domers win by 3 touchdowns or more in what becomes a snooze fest on Labor Day evening. And Dino, before we get to our early lean, week 2, LSU at Texas. Shame on us, because we cooked up 5 games, and let me tell you some main ingredients that we left out, brother. The freaking Holy War on Thursday night, number 14 Utah at BYU. It's like we don't even care.
-6. No, I was aware of that game. You know, there's only so much hours time in the day, you know. But I would love to talk it. If you got more time, let me know.
Just a derelict supreme. All right, let's get to that early lean. You're out of state, and so I'm going to get your selection first. LSU. The last that we saw is going off as a 2.5-point favorite right now in Austin. Who do you like there if you had to pick it today?
Yeah, this is an awesome game. I'm proud of LSU and Texas for manning up and playing each other. But I'm going to go with LSU, even on the road. I don't think Texas has a great home field advantage, and I think a lot of the Texas hype is coming off of the Sugar Bowl victory over Georgia, which was a great victory. But don't read too much into bowl game victories. I think Joe Burrow, I think they're going to open up the playbook for him. LSU's offensive line is going to have to get better. They've got, I think, 4 starters coming back. I love their secondary. Grant Delpit and Jacoby Stevens, they might be 2 of the better safety tandems in all of football if they decide to put Stevens at safety. So I like LSU. I don't think they're going to be afraid to go in there. They go to tough environments week after week. So give me LSU to go in there, and I think they could cover a small 2.5 there.
Early lean, I like LSU as well. I wouldn't mind buying some more points here, and I'm going to make good friends with our guy Danny Jones here, a Texas grad who's a big friend of the program. But Dino, look, you're more versed in these things than I am, but I think I would buy this thing up to 4.5. 5.5? I don't know about 6.5, but I would buy this thing up and try to make a little more cash money. I like LSU to go in and prove a little bit of point in this game. I don't think they're going to blow them out by any stretch, but I like LSU in the secondary. I like LSU at linebacker and up front. Texas, to me, is strongest up front. I think they're going to have some issues with this spread attack, and as good of a quarterback as Sam Ellinger is running it, I think that Joe Burrow throwing it and the LSU complete team will prove to be a little too much. So early on, at least, we agree. Dino, good to be reunited, brother. We'll do this again next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's good to be back, brother. Can't wait to keep it going through the season.
We are back. Hopefully, we're about to be back on top. Let me run down quickly for you what we just picked, and then you can run the other way if you're smart, I guess. Dino and I agree. We like South Carolina, Boise, and Houston to cover spreads. We disagree on the 2 others. He likes Auburn, while I like Oregon. He likes Louisville, while I like Notre Dame. And early on, we're both kind of digging LSU's side of what is a 2.5-point line going to Texas in week 2. All right, we got to hit our final break of the 4 o'clock hour. Don't forget Jake DeLome set to join us in a little less than 20 minutes. Jake the Snake talking all things NFL, as well as Raging Cajuns football. I know he had an opportunity. Jake DeLome did. To speak with Billy Napier and that Cajuns football team earlier this offseason. So we got a lot to touch on there with Jake DeLome. I promise we'll also get to the news of the day with LSU and Saints football Tigers coming up on a big game with Georgia Southern this Saturday night. And the Saints, they've got a Week 4 preseason game against the Dolphins tomorrow night. All right, so don't go anywhere. We got more coming right back out to Twin Peaks on Johnston. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game,
Louisiana
and
103.7thegame.com.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, just a little bit less than 10 minutes to 5 o'clock. You got Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Twin Peaks on Johnston on 103.7 The Game. How could you not love life? We just had Cousin Dino spit all kind of gibberish. I mean, gold. I'm hanging out at the home of the eats, drinks, and scenic views. I know, a lot of rain outside in the Acadiana area, so stay safe. But as you listen to us on 103.7 The Game, maybe duck off and join us here at Twin Peaks on Johnston, all kind of food and drink specials on a Wednesday night. And in a little while, as in like less than 2 hours, CD, we'll have our third of four live fantasy drafts for Acadiana Sports Station. Earlier in the program, we introduced the sink or swim question of the day regarding fantasy football. Want to know if it's lost its luster for you over the years? Call us up and let us know. 706-0111. Few nibbles so far in responses via our Facebook crowd. So, Clint, I'll interject that to the conversation. Todd G. No, it is only getting better. Robert D. I agree. After 15 years, I still love it. So, I guess here's what I would tell you. Because we talked about the possible impact that daily fantasy and more recently sports gambling and gaming, what's that going to do to people's love of fantasy football?
I think it's definitely going to escalate a lot further.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, bud.
Oh, it's all right, man. Like I said, I think it's going to escalate a lot further whenever you just think about everything that's happened over the last few years. We talked about it earlier. I think it's going to escalate things simply because of the fact everybody's going to be having more skin in the game, if you will.
I have a gut feeling that in 15 to 20 years, it gnaws at it, eats at it, and starts to dilute how much people love it. That's just one man's opinion. But I don't think, like I said, it's going to happen for the next decade, maybe decade and a half, because, well, the points made on Facebook are valid. And I think that it still becomes a better way to interact with people for every single game, not just the Saints game or not just your favorite team's game. But there are some drawbacks to it. And I know one incredibly staunch opponent of fantasy sports, no matter which sport we're talking about, football, basketball, baseball. My man Jeff Palermo out and out refuses to participate. And trust me, I have tried and twisted his arm since 2009 to get this cat in on fantasy baseball. He used to be a kind of like a, another good buddy of mine, Dave Schultz. Palermo was a guy that called some minor league baseball games. Spent a lot of time in the Chicago area, grew up there, huge Cubs fan. So even though he loves the Cubs and I love the Cardinals, that guy and I talk baseball, I mean, on the regular. And every time I've tried to get him in to a fantasy league, he said, I don't ever want to be in a situation where I have to root for a Cardinal. No matter the circumstance. He's like, I don't want to have to be in that spot. And I always found that to be somewhat refreshing because I feel differently. A lot of people I know feel differently. But this cat's, he stayed true to his guns. And he said, I don't ever want to be there, period. He said, it has nothing to do with the upkeep. He said, I'll keep up my team. I'll be on the waiver wire. I'll respond to trade offers. I'll send my own. I'm just not ever rooting against the Cubs or for the Cardinals. So for some people, that'll be something they just can't escape. But interesting. Clint thinks there's a chance that all these new inventions, all these new wrinkles, it might just intensify our love with fantasy sports. I'll tell you this. Everything that continues to happen with the red zone package, I think that continues to get people more and more indoctrinated with loving fantasy football. My only problem there, and I'm thankful that I haven't really lived this life in the last 3 or 4 years, right? Since I moved to Lafayette, I haven't been a part of this. But my last year or two in Baton Rouge, Clint, I don't mind telling you, my buddies always had on the split screen on the Red Zone channel, right? I mean, it's the one that shows you eight games at a time. I think if I legitimately watched that every Sunday in the fall for like three or four straight years, I would go blind.
Oh, I can about imagine. That's a lot of things going on. It's reminding me a lot of Alan Michael because he would usually have that like 12-screen setup going on Saturdays and Sundays.
Dude, I can't do it. The one that literally has eight split screens and you're sitting there watching tiny little figurines run in eight different little sectionals. I mean, I did it for a little while, but man, I couldn't be that guy on the regular. So I don't want fantasy sports that bad. Okay, so maybe that's where I draw my line in the sand. But I like some of the response we're getting so far on social media. We'll do our best to carry it forward into the program's 5 o'clock hour. And in less than 10 minutes, speaking of that 5 o'clock hour, Jake DeLone, former Terling's Catholic Rebel, Raging Cajun, and a guy that's now a part of the Carolina Panthers radio broadcast team, Jake the Snake, going to come aboard at 5:05. We're going to throw some shade today. And it's Auburn on Alabama hatred. Imagine that. But it's a little bit of a different narrative than maybe you're used to. We're also going to go Q&A replay, but not an entire interview. The choice cuts from our recruiting conversation yesterday with Shea Dixon, go247.com. He went in on LSU's battle to find offensive tackles in this 2019 class. I get asked about that all the time, CD. So we'll bring that back for the people. And a few other tidbits as well. And then we have our final descent into my fantasy football draft. So we'll talk a little more 2019 fantasy outlook at the end of our 5 o'clock hour. And don't forget, it'll be Five Guys Stories and Lies picking up where I leave off at 6. And you'll get more Astros Rays at 7:10 p.m. So a great lineup in store. But it's time to finish out our 4 o'clock hour, as we always do, with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Injuries. And I'll say this. I think the only thing that might be able to derail a potential second World Series title in 3 years for the Houston Astros might be injuries. And another, it's today, Brad Peacock heading toward the 10-day IL, had an MRI and an x-ray today, still awaiting results. He felt a sharp pain last night, so certainly that not good news. The Astros looking at that, Carlos Correa, a few other players that just aren't standing the test of time during a rigorous 162-game slate. Hopefully they can stay healthy, because injuries could just be the thing that derails them. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in a traffic update at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, and then Jake DeLome at 5:05. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love, and you're listening to Bumper Sports, broadcasting live from the home of the eats, drinks, and scenic views. Of course, it's Twin Peaks on Johnston. Glad to have you aboard on 103.7 The Game. The famous Clint D in tow from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're expecting a visit from Jake DeLone momentarily, but how about a quick traffic update to begin our 5 o'clock hour? And this is an important one. With some inclement weather outside, please be advised there is a stalled vehicle on the Evangeline Thruway at Willow southbound. I know it's raining like cats and dogs all over Acadiana, so stay safe out there. And please call Clint. We can report anything else you got. Make sure everybody else has the drop on it. And just take your time on the way home on this Wednesday. The number for Clint, 706-0111. And while it's raining outside, about to heat up as a football conversation. Let's go out to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Former Raging Cajun quarterback Jake DeLome, our guest. Jake, it's just about that time. We'll have college football this weekend, pro football the week after. It is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm like you. I can't wait. It's like if I had to pick between the NFL and college, I think I'm more of an NFL guy. But I'm just so tired of this preseason. Let's get to the regular season and let's go.
How much has your outlook changed, if it has at all, Jake, from the time that you were playing and approaching this month of August and now that you're kind of in the role that you are? I know that you're going to be part of the Panthers radio broadcast team, certainly a fan of the sport. How has it changed over the years?
In terms of what exactly?
Well, you tell me. I'm sure that as a veteran, you probably weren't looking forward to things like camp. But come August now, are you amped up?
You know what? It's funny. The older I got, I think the more I enjoy training camp. Now, remember, this is coming from a quarterback's perspective. I didn't hit anybody day in and day out and twice a day. You know, and I never had training camp under the CBA rules once that came into effect in 2011. So I know it's a whole lot different now back in when I played, but training camp obviously was a grind. But as I got older, I think I looked forward to it more, probably knowing that the end was near. And, you know, you look forward to kind of the team coming together, and it was something about going away to camp. I know that's something that I enjoyed. I truly believe that camp is where the makeup of the team is created, you know, and it's and you're either going to develop your trust and chemistry at camp, or it's going to become exposed, and you're going to know you're not going to have that great of a team. And I think camp does that. But nowadays, the football, in essence, almost year-round, and the way guys, the nutrition, keeping themselves in shape, and now these teams are practicing against each other. And with all the head trauma injuries that the NFL that has come to the forefront, it certainly looks like camp is starting to kind of go away a little bit, and I would assume the preseason will be a thing of the past pretty soon.
That's a good point, especially maybe with an internal push, Jake, by the league to go to 18 regular season games. You mentioned the idea of how grueling camp could be. Obviously, the whole sport is that way. Since you mentioned that, how about your reaction to Andrew Luck's retirement? I guess what you thought when you heard the news, and, I mean, what you think now that you've had a few days to chew on it?
You know, I did not need much time to kind of think about it. When I got it, I remember I had an alert on my phone, and I was like, wow. I said, the kid's hurt. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind was that he can't do it anymore. Because he's a young kid, he's a man now. But, I mean, this was a kid that loved football, loved competing, loved to play. But the 4 years, like he said in his press conference, that four-year cycle, and he just couldn't do it anymore. And the thing that keeps coming back into my mind is that he had a calf injury in the spring. And this calf injury is still lingering, and now it's into the ankle and now a high ankle. I just think maybe the body's starting to break down. And, you know, I believe he said, I can't just be average and go out there. I have to feel like I can be great. If I can't do that, then I can't play. And he's made that decision. But football does not define Andrew Luck. You know, there's many guys that football has to define them. That has never defined Andrew Luck. I can promise you that.
Former Raging Cajuns and Carolina Panthers quarterback Jake DeLome, our guest on 103.7 The Game. All right, let's get to your favorite. Let's get to the NFL. And how about the Panthers this year? Christian McCaffrey keeps ascending into superstardom. I guess your take on where that offense will be with he and Cam Newton and the defense this year in Charlotte.
Well, their front seven should be pretty salty on defense. You know, getting Gerald McCoy, drafting the Burns kid in the first round. So they have some pieces there, and they're kind of switching more to the 3-4, a little more attack mode. That front seven should be pretty good. I'm not saying the back end can't be, but they're still, that front seven should create havoc. Offensively, you know, can they be the team that was 6-2 last year midway through the season before Cam's shoulder kind of fell apart and this team just couldn't win a game after that? So that's what I'm anxious to see. Two young ascending receivers, young tight end that they like to go along with Greg Olsen if he stays healthy. Christian McCaffrey. I don't think anybody has any doubt that he's one of the premier football players in the National Football League. Now, when you watch him in camp this year or some of the preseason games, it's just kind of, you know, you're not seeing a whole lot. Cam has barely played. I think McCaffrey has touched the ball two or three times. So you're not getting to see a great deal, and you're not going to see anything tomorrow night. So will they be ready opening game? They better be, because I promise you the Rams are going to come into town, and they're going to be smoking with that tempo offense that they run.
Interesting that the Rams will get Carolina, and then they'll be home against the Saints first 2 weeks of the season. Jake, before we leave those Carolina Panthers, I know it's been announced in the last few weeks, you along with Jordan Gross joining the radio broadcast team. I know you got to be excited about that.
I'm very much excited about that. It's kind of been in the works for a couple of years, and it just wasn't quite the right time, but very excited about doing it. The play-by-play guys, Nick Dixon at the Panthers, since like 2004. So great relationship with him. Keep that tie to the NFL, and I know me personally, that tie to the Panthers. And it's football. You know, I've called some games on radio before. I'm looking forward to it. I'm certainly looking forward to going back to watching film a little bit more and things like that. That's just that's fun to me. That's something that I love to do. To be able to watch it in person for the majority of the season. Who could ask for something more than that?
A season ago, Jake, the Saints and the Rams were the cream of the crop, in the NFC. Who might be able to challenge that establishment this fall?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think both of them will be at or near the top again. And I'm anxious to see. I've seen every year who comes out of the NFC South. I'm not overly high on Tampa. Atlanta has a chance. You know, they were decimated with injuries last year. Carolina, same thing. You know, the question marks at the quarterback position. Can he come back? All signs indicate to that. So that can be a battle, that division. But I could see a Philadelphia, Dallas. Who's going to come out of that division? I see the Bears maybe regressing a little bit. Can Green Bay kind of make a run? But it certainly looks like the Saints are poised to make a pretty deep run this year. You know, people talk about the hangover from the last 2 years, one, the Minnesota miracle play, and then the no-call last year. I just don't think that's going to affect that team. I just think with Drew being the quarterback and the way his mind works, the way his mind ticks, that's not going to be an issue for them. Health is always going to be paramount. Hopefully Drew can stay healthy, because if he's not healthy, then I think, you know, their chances fall pretty severe if he's not healthy. So it certainly looks like it's going to be kind of the same old at the top. I just think Philadelphia is going to be back strong this year. I think there's a lot of talent on that roster.
One more for our guest, Jake DeLome, joining us on 103.7 The Game. I know you've got a good level of familiarity, I believe, with the general manager with the New York Giants. They drafted Daniel Jones in the top 10. Your outlook on maybe how they try to groom him and how things kind of coexist there with Eli Manning?
I don't think there'll be a problem coexisting with those two. Eli's such a pro, and the young kid certainly looks like he has the mental makeup just to kind of be pretty level-headed. I feel sorry for really both of those guys, because, I don't know, I'm not so sure how talented the New York Giants are as a roster in general. And that media is just the devil. It's just so difficult in New York. And every single question they're going to get asked is going to be, you know, about Eli. You know, does he still have it? He needs to be benched. When are you going to play Daniel Jones? So I just don't see a good end situation there. Any way I try to look at it, it looks like the Giants drafted correctly. This kid was highly sought after. I know many teams had him as their number one quarterback or number two right after Kyler Murray, and it wasn't even close. I think just the Giants are shocked that they drafted him that high. So you kind of feel for the kid. It wasn't his fault, but that media in New York, it's a dangerous thing.
Hey, I do want to fit in one more, Jake. I know you had an opportunity to speak with Billy Napier and the Cajuns this offseason. What did you take away from that experience and getting to relate to some of these young men?
Well, I was lucky enough. Last year I went to speak to the team, and I know he tries to bring different people in. And I just think there's a different expectation this year for this program. I think last year, I'm not so sure how stacked the cupboard was for a full roster, so to speak. I think we had some very good parts. But it looks like we're developing more depth. The players look physically different. I even mentioned that last year. I found a physical change. I see it more so this year. Just the weight program, the nutrition program, and just the way they're doing things. And I know a lot of the players truly love Napier and his staff and the way he goes about things. And you saw this team get better as the season went on last year. I don't think there was any doubt. So that, to me, that's a sign of a coaching staff that's coaching players buying in and doing what they need to do to get better. And everything you read, you know, it certainly points to a team that's kind of close, getting on to taking that next step. Obviously, a tough matchup against a very talented team in the Superdome this weekend. And then Levi Lewis, you know, most teams go as the quarterback goes, let's be perfectly honest. And he's a kid that has all the intangibles, and everybody loves him. It's just he doesn't have as much playing time as you would like, but he gets to go out there and do it, and hopefully he can have a big year.
Jake, we're always grateful for the time. Best of luck on this new venture with the Panthers radio broadcast team. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, man. Take care. Have a good day, Ben.
That's Jake DeLome. And look, I love the fact that he's going to be getting involved there. He kind of told you right there, I believe, as well. Okay, this had been in the works for a while. I had heard some of the same things, you know, from him behind closed doors. Trust me. I'm always trying to get that guy on the show, and I'm grateful for every second he gives us, but I'll take every second more that he's got. But he's been telling me that this is kind of in the works. Hey, I think that there's something that probably is going to require a good bit of my attention this year. So I believe he'll be doing all of the home games in Charlotte. I don't know how much he'll be traveling. I think he and Jordan Gross may be splitting the duty with home and away type of games. So, and I believe I had that right. If not, it's backwards, and he'll be doing the road games. But still, what a great opportunity. And the people that follow these Carolina Panthers, they'll get a treat there. Glad that we got him on our program. We'll be right back in. And imagine this. It's time to throw some shade. Auburn versus Alabama hatred. Who would have thunk it? It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in to Twin Peaks on Johnston on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
20 minutes after 5 o'clock, right back in. More of the good stuff and great stuff all around right now. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks on Johnston. The B2BS Fantasy Draft commences at 6:45. We've already set the draft order. I'm literally in my least favorite place to be. Sixth of 12. Clint, you know exactly what that means. You know, you've only been doing the fantasy thing for about 3 years now, but it means that I literally am equidistant from each end of a snake draft, and so I have to keep my head on a swivel. I would much rather go bang, bang, make two picks, right? I'd rather be the 11th or 12th person out of 12. Nonetheless, Team B2BS, throwing shade all day, will draft 6th of 12. Hashtag Psy.
Yeah, it's not exactly that great of a draw, and trust me, the randomizer, don't lie, wound up going 6th in that draft. Not exactly the best place in the world, mind you. I had a draft over the weekend, wound up going first, and that was a weird experience for me being the one in the driver's seat to start things off. And then you're waiting like 5 minutes for your next pick.
Yeah, the randomizer put our guy Vernon out there trying to, you know, exert dominance. It put him, I believe, at 12th for the second straight year. So I've already started to hear from him. And what is fantasy if you can't gripe and moan a little bit with your friends or with Vernon, whichever one you prefer. Just having a little fun with you there, V. And something we do every day, try to have a little fun in the world of sports. That means it's time to issue my daily reminder to you. It's a PSA for everyone locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Spend a little time checking out the retractable shades and screens. the customized patio covers with the cypress accents and the standing seam metal awnings. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Alex will be the one to put up your shades and awnings outside the home, while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center are ready to up your patio game, and they can do it before the Saints go marching through the playoffs. But you better hurry up to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Dan Enos leading that Miami Hurricanes offense. And yeah, they lost. I get that. They lost their ball game this past Saturday, week zero of the season, to Florida. Final score of 24-20. But I don't know that I care for the way he handled his redshirt freshman quarterback in the postgame remarks, and apparently I'm not alone. Redshirt freshman Jaron Williams, he looked okay, completed 19 of 29 passes, 214 yards, a touchdown. Look, I know that Johnny Manziel, I know that Jameis Winston were both dynamite as redshirt freshmen. Sometimes it happens that way. Other times, well, how do you back 20 years old? It doesn't always go swimmingly. This kid was okay, at least. But after the game, Enos, when commenting on his quarterback, he got after him a little bit through the media. Here's the exact quote. "We left a lot of plays on the field. Jaron left a lot of plays on the field. I was very, very disappointed from that standpoint." And so coming from out of nowhere, but still jumping from off the top rope, and you'll get the connection shortly, NFL standout DB Jerod Powers, the guy that played at Auburn back in the day. And I love this, because on Twitter, Powers got a hold of what was said about Dan Enos toward his redshirt freshman quarterback, and here is how Powers responded. "What type of coach throws a 19-year-old kid under the bus publicly? Same coach who left Alabama in the middle of the night and didn't have the balls to tell Saban he was leaving." That is tremendous from Jerod Powers. Enos was Alabama's quarterback's coach in the 2018 season. It was thought he would become the new offensive coordinator of the Tide after they had some defections on the staff. But instead, he left and didn't even give proper notice. And so, wouldn't you imagine that an Auburn defensive back would love to crack on an Alabama coach who doesn't show the proper stones and etiquette as a professional? Gotta love it. Powers is off in the NFL. Enos is at Miami, and yet it's still Auburn versus Alabama. Why does it always seem, Clint, that it comes back to that?
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Didn't really have anything to do with Jerod Powers, did it? No, but he found a way to insert himself, and I think it's pretty comical. All right, we're halfway through our 5 o'clock hour, or just about. We got a lot of goods coming your way, though. I want to update your biggest college football story of the day, and our caller, Chad, in the 4 o'clock hour, he asked about it, so it gave me a little time to reflect. I want to do that again for our 5 o'clock crowd. Dylan Moses, Alabama linebacker, likely out for the season. That's one of the real dangers of this time of year. And you never know how it's going to happen in a scrimmage, in practice, lifting weights. I mean, so many things, right? I mean, if Carlos Correa could do it while getting a massage, you can get hurt any number of ways. So I do want to update that story on a Baton Rouge native and a guy who was supposed to be an incredibly key cog in Alabama's 2019 defense. So we'll discuss that. I've got some Shea Dixon cuts coming your way, talking a little LSU recruiting, and then we'll also let you hear what Scott Woodward, LSU athletics director, had to say about Ed Orgeron and Nick Saban at a Rotary Club meeting earlier today. You can't make up any of the stuff that we had coming your way, so don't you go anywhere. All of that, and then we preview tonight's fantasy football draft live at Twin Peaks on Johnston. We'll be right back in around the corner. Ben Love alongside the famous Glenn D taking you home. We call it Bumper to Bumper Sports, and it's always live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, and around the world at 103.7thegame.com.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, and some brutal news for Alabama football. I know a lot of people listening, I sure hope you're not applauding this, but you're not going to be as sad about this as others around the country, certainly in the Yellowhammer State. But this impacts a young man from Baton Rouge, a guy that was once an LSU commit, Dylan Moses. And Dylan said time and again, he thinks he would have ended up at LSU had Les Miles not been canned. Call it a casualty, I believe, of kind of what was inevitable and had to happen. But unfortunately, what happened today, something that's going to be tough, not just for the Tide, but this young man's going to have to bounce back. Dylan Moses, a lot of people have him as a preseason All-SEC, even All-American performer at linebacker, has suffered a knee injury, and it's feared that the surgery that will be required will ultimately be season-ending for Moses. Just what did he do last year for the Tide as he started to emerge onto the scene? 86 total tackles that led Alabama. 10 tackles for loss, that's fifth on the team, as were his 3.5 sacks. And so you're going to ask me what's next. Well, let's consider this. Alabama's already lost a 5-star running back prospect for the season. Moses becomes the second linebacker that was slated to start that's now out for the entire year. The other, Joshua McMillan. And according to Nick Saban, the two young men who are going to replace them, a true freshman in Shane Lee. 6 foot, 246 pounds. He was the number 5 inside linebacker in the country in this last class, replacing McMillan. Ellen, another true freshman, Christian Harris, for outside linebacker in the class of 2019. So, again, we had a great call earlier from Chad. He said, how does that impact things? And I said, does this affect LSU versus Alabama in like 9 weeks? I don't know. It's hard to make that call this early. But with the combo of McMillan and now Moses out, that means two true freshmen are in. It's going to be interesting to see how Nick works those guys not only in, but up to speed. 4 stars, 5 stars, that helps. It doesn't mean everything. All right, speaking of recruiting, our guy Shea Dixon dropped by the program yesterday. He had two important tidbits on LSU's efforts in this 2020 cycle. I wanted to make sure that we kicked that your way on a hump day. And first off, speaking of star running backs, flirtations with other programs, Zach Evans, North Shore High School out of Texas. LSU's had a pipeline to the school just outside of Houston. Recently, Evans started to gain a lot of traction from the crystal ball predictions at 24/7 Sports toward the University of Georgia. And here, Shea addresses exactly where he thinks LSU stands with the stud RB.
Well, now Zach Evans might be going to Georgia. And I know a lot of people say, what's the deal with that? Who wants to be in a running back room with other, you know, 5-star running backs? We saw LSU do it last cycle. We've seen Georgia do it numerous times, taking multiple or back-to-back years of top running backs. Both those schools do it well. So it won't shock me if he winds up at Georgia, but let me press pause here for a second and say that a lot of the smoke around the Zach Evans recruitment has not come from Zach Evans. It's come from different colleges, people around Texas, and everyone at the North Shore seems to maintain that look, he's open to this final group of suitors, which includes LSU. LSU's going to get him on an official visit in October for the Auburn game. So a guy, as you said, lots of connections. North Shore to LSU is a pipeline that they've had going for a long time, not just players on the field, but guys who graduated from there and went on to coach, or graduated from LSU, went on to coach at North Shore. So it works both ways. Houston is a big LSU city. I see LSU hanging around this one longer than this sort of wave of crystal balls might predict. And I'll just kind of put my neck out there and say that I don't think this one is done. Evans kind of goes to the beat of his own drum. That could mean taking it all the way to signing day, which is what he's adamantly said many times. So we'll see. A a lot of people have their ears perked up right now. Could he do something soon? But regardless, I think LSU's sort of in this one for the long haul.
My man, Shea Dixon, the master of disinforming, misinformation. I'm sorry, CD, what you got for me, brother?
We had a little power glitch here at the station, so I wouldn't be able to play the other Shea soundbite.
Okay, all right, there we go. Clint telling me on live radio what we got going. Okay, all right, I understand. So let me react to that. Our apologies there. Inside baseball, over the year. But Shea reflecting on Zach Evans there, and I spent a lot of time doing that during my time on the beat, right? You've got misinformation, or at least things that don't necessarily come from the kid or his camp, and we get too infatuated sometimes with things like crystal ball predictions or maybe the latest report. But Shea thinks that LSU stays in it for Evans' services for quite some time. It doesn't look like we'll be able to play the other clip from Shea D. What I can tell you is this. It was related to offensive line, in particular, offensive tackle. And Shea said LSU's going to be targeting more kids that kind of fit that mold, right? Like Sadiq Charles, like Cam Wire, some of the others over the last couple of cycles that maybe point a little bit more toward definitive tackles. So there we have it. CD, just to confirm here, I know that we can't play some of the Shea Dixon sound. I wanted to get back into what Scott Woodward had to say earlier today, LSU's athletics director. That's not going to be possible right now. Then why don't we do this? Why don't we shut it down, get it right, and make it possible? On the other side of this break, it's my intention to play for you what Woodward said at a Baton Rouge Rotary Club meeting today. It was fascinating, to say the least. It involves Ogeron. It involves Nick Saban. In fact, it's mostly about the Nicktator. So stick with us. We'll kick that back your way. And in our final segment, before we turn it over to Five Guys Stories and Lies, we also want to talk a little bit of fantasy football. Might as well throw this thing to break, Clint. We'll fix some glitches here. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be back to a place where there are no glitches. Twin Peaks on Johnston on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Raymond.
You're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Back in and coming down the home stretch on a hump day. We're hanging out and having a great time at Twin Peaks on Johnston. Fantasy draft starting in less than an hour. The famous Glenn D tells me, hey, we're back up and running with all the goods and the sound. That is good, because I want to play some for you. And we'll start to wind down the show with the exact way we started it. I find this to be incredibly entertaining. I think I know the place where it's coming from, but I'm going to just kick it to you and let you form your own conclusions. But earlier today, new LSU AD Scott Woodward, do believe this was at a BR Rotary Club function. He's the guest of honor. He's speaking, and boy, did he speak. So, Clint, let's air that out, and then we'll come to some conclusions.
Probably in this half a century, there have been three giants in the three major sports in the NCAA. Baseball, football, and basketball, men's basketball. Skip Berkman, Nick Saban, and Mike Krzyzewski. And two of them were on our campuses in the early 2000s. You forget that. Giants. But that's because of LSU. And that's what attracts them here. And I know there's a guy in Alabama who has regrets that he's not here today, and shame on him. But we have one with a higher IQ that's here today, so thank you.
It's still absolutely incredible. So, again, that was Scott Woodward. I think some fun jabs in the direction of Nick Saban, pumping up his guy Ed Ogeron. But more than anything, the first half of that statement that's going to be omitted from all the regional and national talk shows later, I think he's just kind of puffing his chest out about that LSU brand. So, again, Clint, we aired that in the first hour. Just had to get it back before we run out of time. But Scott Woodward, making sure that everybody knows LSU's been a winner. They've had a brand for a while. They've had some of the best around. They plan to do it again. And they think they have exactly that with Ed Ogeron. But I do wholeheartedly believe what was said in the middle of that statement. I do believe that Nick Saban wishes he had never left for Miami, that he still was kind of seeing through the project that he started. I believe that. And I think everybody within the sound of my voice believes LSU would probably have more than just the 03 and 07 national championships. Don't know that we need to take flight any further than that. I'm just saying. All right, we did promise we'd get to some fantasy football conversation before the show ran out of real estate today. About 55 minutes from now, we're going to begin with the B2BS live draft from Twin Peaks on Johnston. And, Clint, here's the direction I want to take it. I don't really think people win drafts in the first round. I think it's possible they could lose them there, but by and large, you're going to win with how you do in the middle rounds and any flyers that you hit late. Still, we all want it to start well. We all focus in on kind of where we were pegged in the random draft order or the draft order that was determined by last year's league, whatever, you know, whatever your method is. And I do believe this. There seemed to be a core group of running backs that are going ahead of everybody else. And I think Saquon Barkley is probably going to be first on most people's list. After that, I think a lot of people tend to drift toward AK-41. Then you start to talk about the others that are at the top of their craft, Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott. I think it's probably those four. Some people put David Johnson as part of an elite five. What I believe is this. I think that once you get past those four, and even with Zeke, there's some obvious holdout risk. After you get past those four, I think I'd rather look toward the game's elite receivers. Again, whether you're a PPR league or not, that's going to play a big factor. But I'm not sure that I'm ready to go with David Johnson or start to reach for Joe Mixon or Nick Chubb. I just think I'm more excited about the core guys like Nuke Hopkins, Michael Thomas for the Saints, Julio Jones, Devontae Adams. I think I get more excited about that type of prospect. So I'll let you reflect a little bit on where you were in the first round of your draft because you guys had some things go very, very crazy. I think Pat Mahomes was a first rounder for you guys. That blows my mind still.
Yeah, he was a number two pick. Mind you, again, that I mentioned this when we talked about it last, was the fact that there were a little bit of incentives when it came to drafting a quarterback early. So I think that wound up helping matters. It was a surprise to see a number two, but you brought up Saquon Barkley going number one. I think 90% of all your mock drafts, in fact, the one that I use as a reference tool during my draft, had, guess what, Saquon Barkley going number one. I mean, I think most every mock draft, every ADP has him going number one. So it feels like that's going to be the first thing to fall. But again, I don't know what kind of grouping you're going to have. Are they going to be people that play more with their heart or play more with their brain?
I can't imagine deciding to play fantasy football only with your heart, right? If you're out here, again, if you could find a way to get Kamara and Michael Thomas on your team, then good for you. You have absolutely pulled the wool over the eyes of your fantasy football combatants. But for the most part, drafting with your heart is no way to win a fantasy football league. With a few exceptions. There are some guys that I just don't necessarily want on my team, right? I'm not going to reach to get guys that I love because they're a Saint or something like that. But I support the idea that if you want to go all in on Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, I hope you enjoy the two games this year that the Saints and the Falcons play, especially that one on Thanksgiving. That ought to be a real rush for you because while everybody else is rooting for the Saints, Clint, you find yourself there and you're going nuts every time that Matt Ryan throws a touchdown. You're just not going to have a good time with that.
And I think that's what I was more going towards when it comes to like playing with your heart. Are you going to wind up not avoiding a guy like a Cam Newton or a Julio Jones or a Matt Ryan to that extent? Are you going to avoid those kind of guys because of your allegiances towards being a New Orleans Saints fan? Or are you going to try and avoid the Patriots like the plague because you don't like them? That's what I was referring to more with playing with your heart as opposed to playing with your brain.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'll let my heart determine where I won't go, but not where I will, if that makes sense. So looking forward to the draft tonight. We spent some time with our sink or swim question, asking if fantasy football has lost its luster for you, and mostly our answers on social media have pointed toward no. Love for fantasy football hasn't waned at all, but we have had at least one response where Yeah, one of our loyal followers on Facebook, I believe it's Jamie G. Let me pull up that response. I saw it earlier. Yeah, Jamie G said, I played back in the old Yahoo days. The more it progressed and the more mainstream it got, the less I liked it. So to him, he said, yeah, it absolutely has lost its luster. You have to put so much in that you forget to enjoy watching the games. Well, look, that's Clint, you love to say it all the time, man. That's just like your perspective, man, or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
I had to let you get that in. It's been a while since you went full down that road. I'll recap the news of the day now. We've talked some fantasy football. We got more of that coming our way at Twin Peaks on Johnston. But Dylan Moses on the shelf, likely for the entire year. Now the second Alabama linebacker to suffer that fate. Second starting LB for Nick Saban. And they're going to replace those two, by all accounts, with a couple of true freshmen. Yo. Difficult times right now at Tuscaloosa. Also, we mentioned it earlier, Brad Peacock, pitcher for the Astros, onto the 10-day IL. He did have an MRI and exams earlier today. They're waiting on some of the results. So basically, how severe is it, is the question at hand, not will it keep him out. They know it's going to keep him out for at least a little bit of time. So I mentioned it as my final word in the 4 o'clock hour about the only thing that might be able to derail what appears to be an Astros train that's rolling down the tracks toward the playoffs, injuries. Add Peacock to a list now that includes Carlos Correa. We'll see if they can withstand some things. We know this. They got a huge, huge lopsided win over the Rays last night in a matchup of potential AL playoff teams. They'll get back after it tonight at 7:10. The Stros live from Minute Maid Park taking on the Rays. And again, the pitching matchup was superb on a Tuesday night. You know, we had a lot of fun with that, actually, CD, pointing toward the fact that you had Verlander against Morton. Not quite getting the same degree of goods tonight, but I'll say this, it's not terrible. It'll be Garrett Cole, 15-5 on the year, on the bump for Houston. Ryan Yarbrough, the less heralded of some of those starters in Tampa, but all he's done is run up an 11-3 record. I know that stats don't always stick in radio lingo, but when I tell you that he's got a .87 whip, that means the guy lets less than one base runner on an inning, like a good bit less than one on average. That is superb from throughout the MLB ranks. So another decent to darn good pitching matchup. Again, it ain't Morton Verlander, but it's not too far down the pecking order. So a lot of fun today. Do want to thank our guest, Cousin Dino, as well as Jake the Snake DeLome, and know that you've got Radio Gold coming up on the other side. Between me and the Houston Astros at 7:10, it'll be Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Don Allen and company taking over on Acadiana Sports Station. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 4 o'clock live from the Tap Room River Ranch. Gordy Rush will be with us at 5. Karen Juno talking golf for a cause at 5:30. And we get you ready for the Kiwanis Jamboree that begins at 6:45 on our station. So enjoy your evening. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Twin Peaks on Johnston, where it's time to draft, baby. But you can keep it dialed in on 103.7 The Game.